Today's Mishnah in Eyalais, bringing us back to that awful time when there was this gezerah on humans that they're supposed to die and be thrown into holes and turn into dust, and it's unbelievable. But it's important for us to remember what it is that we went through as a species before getting to this wonderful space of Umol Hashem Elokecha Slevavcha, and so on and so forth. So it used to be that this dust that was called rakav, the shear was, if you had a mole tarvad of a rakav, that would be metame be'ohel. So you will recall that we had the machlokas about the idea of the ohel being mitzaref, the shear of things, right? So let's imagine a case where a mole tarvad of rakav got scattered inside of a house. Now, the problem over here is, remember that we had the big machlokas before about what the din of rakav is if it's mixed with other things. According to Rabbi Shimon, the halacha that rakav has to be pure, 100% guaranteed rakav is true whether it's the way that the decay happens in the first place or whether it's the current status. So according to Rabbi Shimon, if there's any dust on the floor, which is a given that there's dust on the floor in the house, then that would mean that scattering this rakav automatically makes the rakav tahor, because now there's other things mixed with it. So the Tanakhama says, Abayitamei, because the actual rakav itself was initially formed without anything else that was mixed with it. You remember we were talking about that if you've got a type of a container or grave that would be lined completely with marble, and there's nothing that could possibly get mixed up in it and that could decay in it, and there's no clothing or anything else, there were no tachrichin, then you have rakav. But if there's anything else that could have decayed into this, then it wouldn't be rakav. Okay, but here you didn't, so the house is tame, even though now it may be mixed with the dirt in the house. But Rabbi Shimon sheet that we saw before is that even subsequent mixing takes away the din of rakav amet, and therefore it's tahar. Now let's take a case of a revius dam from a mace that was absorbed into the floor of a house. The floors in those days were made out of dirt. What's the din? That's a different halacha, because something that is balua within the ground is not considered to be matami any longer. So as long as the whatever was in the house currently was not in the house when that revius dam was initially brought in, before it was absorbed into the ground, you're not going to be able to be matame something by bringing it into the house at this point. So then it would be tahar, habayit tahar. By the way, whenever we use that word, habayit tahar, we don't mean the bayit tahar, we mean the contents of the bayit. A bayit is always tahar because it's mechubar lekarka. Okay, how about if there was a revius of dam that is inside of a shirt? So someone was shot and there's a revius of dam from after he died and it's in his shirt. Bringing that shirt into the house, is it metame or not? So the halacha is like this. If it's possible to get out that revius dam by washing, so then even if it wasn't washed, everything becomes tame that's in the house because it's considered to still be extant. And it's not the same as being nivla in the karka. But if there is no way to get it out, then it is tohar. And because the din is shekol abalua she'eno yochol latzeit tahar, anything that would not be able to come out normally, obviously it doesn't mean you can't get it out through any possible physical process. I mean, there may be certain chemical agents that you can use. We're not talking about that. We're talking about normal washing of this shirt. So if it would not, the blood would not come out to the extent that a revius of dam would come out, then it's considered to be tahar. How in the world could we actually measure this? So actually, the Braisa says the way that we measure it is we take two equal-sized bowls. In one bowl, we put the amount of water that it holds together with a revius of dam. And in the other, any volunteers for a donation of a revius of dam, so we could do this. The other bowl, we take the shirt, and we put the shirt into clear water. Now, if the colors match after washing the shirt in the water, then we use the color to be the definition of how much blood is there, which is actually a quite easy way of doing things. If the colors don't match, then that means that there's less blood to color the water in the washed shirt bowl. So the din is that if it's balua in that way, it doesn't come out, it's actually tahor. Oyalais perek shlishi mishnah gimel. Suppose a revius of dam falls in an open area, right? There's no roof over it. So now, the way to become a tame from a revius dam, if there's no roof over it, of course, is not through tumas ohel, but through tumas ma'ahil. Ma'ahil would mean that you put your hand directly over it. So now it goes and it radiates into your hand. And we said that was, according to the Chachamim, that was considered to be a direct maga. Now, the question is, and this is a general question about liquids that has a lot of implications, especially for dinim of mikvos, what makes a liquid into a single unit? Because, I mean, the whole point of a liquid is that the molecules are not bound together in such a way that you can actually move the whole thing. So when does it become an actual unit? So here we have the difference between the concept of ketafres and ashboren, which is very central to mikvos. Anything which is on an incline where it's subject to gravity is ipso facto considered to be separate molecules because the flow is subjected to shear forces. And because of that, you do not have a liquid that is on an incline that can possibly be viewed as the equivalent of a liquid in a container where it takes on that particular shape and therefore unity. And that's what's unique about liquids. So if it's in any way subjected to shear forces, then it is not considered to be a liquid and there is no way for you to be ma'ahil over anything other than the actual molecules that you're over. And that's not considered to be a revius dam. It's considered to be a lot of molecules of dam. So if the mokum is ketafris, and then you put your hand over some of it, there's no way for that to be the totality of the blood. And therefore, it's tahar. If, however, it was ashboren, so if it's now in an area where it's held, and it's held still, or the alternative is that it already congealed. So if it's congealed into a gel, then it's still a revius dam, but it's not a liquid anymore because it doesn't flow. So then if you put a little bit of your hand over it, you put your hand over a revius dam. Let's imagine a case like this. The blood was actually in front of your house. You never liked that postman anyway. So the blood was right there on the entranceway into your house. And now the question is, the doorway had this like little entrance that you had a little porch in front of it or something, which the eaves of your house go over. And it's on an incline. Now, it may be inclined towards your house. It may be inclined away from your house. If you're in the habit of shooting the postman, you'd probably want to build it away from your house just to keep things clean. But it really doesn't matter. So even if the incline is towards your house and the blood ultimately is going to end up pooling in the house, it really makes no difference because the bottom line is if it's on the eskufa, I don't care whether the katafris, so the katafris means the incline. I don't care the direction of the incline. The direction of the incline could be towards the inside of your house, could be going out of your house. It's irrelevant because you do not have a revius dam in one place, and therefore, if the roof, the eaves that stick out, do not cover a full revius to be mitzarif them, then there's no way for it to be mile over part of it, and therefore, it will be tahar. On the other hand, if there is some area where it's pooled, let's say maybe there's a shallow area inside of your little gateway to your house, your doorway, so then it would be tameh. And there, even if the roof, your eaves, go over only part of it, they were over what we see as a single unit of a revius dam, even though it's a liquid. Now, every different element of a mace is tame. And that we learn out from the fact, obe mace, obe kever, obe etzem. So an etzem is a part of a mace. Anything that could be called similar to an etzem. What is similar to an etzem? Things that were part of a body at birth and things that, if removed, will not grow back. So because of that, we exclude, let's say, teeth, where teeth don't really develop in a way that we call them teeth until later. Teeth would not be metame. Hair, if you cut it off, grows back. keratin grows back, fingernails will grow back. So those things will not be metame. So because of that, any other part of a mace is metame, but not shinayim, se'ar, v'tziporin. However, if they are currently part of that body, b'shat chiburo, all of it will be tame, as we will see in the next Mishnah, which we might as well deal with. And, yeah, see, I snuck my way in. And therefore, the next Mishnah is Olot Paragimel Mishnah Dalet. So what do we mean? You wouldn't want me to start with the Ketzad. I mean, Ketzad is meant to be all one thing, right? So how does this apply, this halacha? Well, for instance, let's say you shot the postman outside of the house, but he falls in such a way that his hair is now inside your house. You're a guy that doesn't like these people with long braids, you know. That's why you shot him in the first place. But anyway, just to get revenge on you, the guy falls in such a way that the braids are in the house. So now the question is that a chelik of the mace that's in your house going to be metame the bias? Yes, it will be because it's currently attached. And therefore, habayit tame. It's also true that if you have an etzem that has a kezayis basar, even if a little bit of it is inside, so then the bias is magil alav, that's considered to be an aver, then the entire house, again, when we say house, we mean the things in the house, obviously, the entire house is tummy. Now, the question is, the machlokas that we had before about whether we could be mitzarif parts of different metim. So suppose you have two separate atzamot, and you have two chatzaei zeitim of basar, and you brought miktsatam bifnim, so that the bayit is mahil on part of each. It's tameh, even though neither one of them could have been metameh on its own, but we said that an oel could be mitzaref. Okay, question whether that's only for one mace, whether from two maceim, that we had a machlokas earlier. And obviously, according to the Shita of Reb Dosib and Hurkanes, there's no way, even underneath the same oil, there's no way to be mitzar of something which is not, as Reb Dosib and Hurkanes pointed out, the halacha l'meishim yisinai is etzem kisa'ira, not anything less than that that you make into zohar, then that's the idea. So it lacks tumah ipso facto. I mean, there is no tumah here, according to him. But this is the Shita of the Rabbanan, and we're assuming the halacha like the Tanakhama. Now, a very serious issue would be, what is the din of Dr. Frankenstein and his monster? Is the bias of Frankenstein's monster Tomei or Tahar? Now, this could be a real serious problem for a Kohen who's a scientist and wants to get into examining this monster. And that was a monster that was put together from various pieces of different mesim and so on, and all hooked up with the correct wires and batteries and so on and so forth. And now it's a mace that is a monster in terms of having been put together. So that is covered by this Mishnah. The Mishnah says any place where a human wires up a body, that's not considered to be an actual mace. So hayotchuvim bidei adam. So let's say you didn't have something. You took a kezayis, a mace, and you attached it to a bone with wires and so on. And now you're going to say, okay, so now I have a real aver min hamace from different pieces. No, ein chiburei adam chibur. As the Mishnah tells us in advance, don't worry about Frankenstein monsters. They are definitely not going to be metame the bias. And don't waste your time. There's other more important things to work on. Okay, gentlemen, that was a great way to begin our Shana Chadasha in memory of the worlds that once were, and looking forward to our new world, Bezrat Hashem. I hope everybody had the kind of Yom Kippur that made them feel that we're definitely on our way to a different kind of world. It's interesting, I'm getting messages even from people in Chutz La'aretz that feel that, which is really weird. I didn't know that there was that level of sensitivity, but yes. So, Mir Tzah Hashem, all of this will be a wonderful museum for the world that was. And Olos is a very important part of that museum. Nachi should become actually if he wants to continue his career, La'asid Lovel, it would be good to become a Bucky in all of these inyonim of Tuma V'Taira, because after all, once Da'at is fixed, then there's no problem with Tuma V'Taira. Okay, have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Koltov, thank you so much for being there.